You're listening to the Charge Forward audio blog by Chargebacks 911, bringing you the latest in payments and fraud. To learn more about how Chargebacks 911 can help you reduce chargebacks and recover revenue lost to fraud, visit us online at chargebacks911.com.
This episode is a replay of a webinar entitled Understanding Visa Claims Resolution, featuring Harlan Hudson and Craig McClure.
First, I want to welcome everyone to the webinar. I just want to thank everybody for taking the time out of their day to join us. My name is Jared Wright. I'm the marketing director here at Chargebacks 911. For anyone who attended the webinar on VCR that we did a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be covering a lot of the same information, sort of from a technical standpoint. But I have to say, I'm really excited because everyone is in for a treat today. We have two gentlemen that I really wanted to have on the last webinar, but we couldn't make scheduling work, but I have both of them today. So first up is presenting from Chargebacks 911 is Harlan Hudson. He's our Director of Strategic Partnership and Brands. Harlan has more than 14 years in the payment industry and has founded two successful startups in this space. And he also spent several years accepting payments as a merchant. Say hi, Harlan.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Jared, for the intro.
Yeah, and also presenting today is Craig McClure. Craig is the Director of Relationship Management for the Chargeback Company, which is our European brand. Craig has more than 15 years experience in the card payment industry, including most recently, he spent 3 years at Visa. So we're really looking forward to his insight on this subject today. Say hello, Craig.
Thanks, Jared. Hello, everyone.
Now, before I get started, I just want to go over how the webinar will be structured. The first part of the webinar will include a short presentation from Harlan and Craig. That'll cover some of the basics of VCR. The first portion will be fairly visual, so it's important that if possible, you close other windows and give us your attention. The second portion of the webinar will be a Q&A, where we answer many of the questions that were submitted. That portion will be less visual, so it's okay if you just want to listen. We'll do our best to answer any question that you submit during the webinar as well. We promise to answer any question, if not live, then also by email after the webinar. So feel free to ask any questions if something isn't quite clear. Lastly, I just want to explain the webinar will be available for replay starting tomorrow. Not all of the Q&A portion will be included in the recording, however. So we encourage you to stay with us today if you want to get the maximum value out of this event. And that's it for me. I'm gonna turn things over to these guys. I'm really looking forward to today's webinar.
Well, thanks, Jared. This is Harlan. And yeah, we're very, very grateful for all who are in attendance. Just to give you a kind of the macro view of where we're going with this webinar today, we really want to put some definition around the whole VCR concept. There are a lot of acronyms. There's some new rule changes, shorter response times. There's a lot of processes that will, we believe, help merchants and issuers alike with processing or blocking invalid chargebacks. There's some reason code changes, which I think these are all great, great changes. And I think this is a good opportunity to take a little bit of time and talk about what it all means. We have three distinct acronyms that really we want to demystify. So that's important for us to move ahead on that. So the first one is, what is VCR? No, it's not video camera recorder or whatever the old big cameras that were used to record videos back in the 80s and 90s. I had one, and when I first heard VCR, I thought, oh, this is a very strange name, but it actually has significant meaning for merchants and issuers, and it basically stands for Visa Claims Resolution. You all probably know that by now, but this is an initiative according to Visa, that is really seeking to simplify the dispute process. It's going to migrate everybody from a litigation-based model, which is really adversarial. It's confronting issues as two opposing sides, and they want to migrate that to a liability assignment Now, how are they going to accomplish this? A couple of things, and we'll talk more about this, but they're certainly updating the rules by which disputes and fraud and all of that are taken care of. They're also updating the reason codes, and these are, I think, two very important points. But in addition to that, to sort of supplement and complement that, they're implementing new workflows. And those workflows are key to reducing inefficiency in the system and waste. And also, I think ultimately it will help reduce chargebacks overall. So the workflows and the processing requirements are going to be helpful to the entire system. So that's VCR, Visa Claims Resolution. The second acronym, which, you know, the world is filled with acronyms, but again, I think these have great meaning. I think the structure around these acronyms is really helpful. Is VROL, or V-R-O-L, which stands for Visa Resolve Online. This is Visa's integrated web-based dispute processing platform. So it's really a whole new kind of 21st century look at what was a very old system to begin with and designed years and years ago. But they've updated it. It's going to reduce time. We believe it's going to mitigate some of the errors that come with all of the things that we currently know. And certainly the paperwork is going to be reduced. At least that's the hope of it all. It's designed to eliminate frivolous or invalid errors. And we'll get, you know, more into that a little bit later. It emphasizes the importance of accurate and compliant entries. Data, data, data. That's going to be the key here. Getting your data right. Much of the automation is based on increased use of the VROL system, and really that's adoption, right? So I think Visa's hoping that obviously there will be a time frame that it will take, but they're hoping for maximum adoption. As part of the VROL system, and for me as a former merchant, I think this is really, really a critical element is VMPI, which stands for Visa Merchant Purchase Inquiry. And what this basically does is it enables issuers and Visa to communicate directly with merchants and to exchange data in real time. Now, if you think about it, the time that it takes for a chargeback to go through the whole system, and sometimes they get mailed out by snail mail or fax or whatever it is, this is going to really up the game in terms of time efficiency. And I think this is a very exciting thing for merchants. There's going to be a certain amount of preloading of supplemental details, purchase information, transaction information, digital receipts, those kinds of things. And again, this can only be good to make it more streamlined. You can issue a customer credit directly rather than, you know, going through the whole crazy process that we currently go through. So it's going to require some new upgrades and all that kind of thing. But again, I think this is a really, really good opportunity for merchants. So beyond the acronyms that we've talked about, there's sort of terminology changes, right? So we have some current defined terms, and I think that our audience today is probably very familiar with what a chargeback is. But that's going to be changing. Sort of the lingo or the semantics are going to be changing from chargeback to dispute. And those things have been used interchangeably, I think, for years, but now this is going to codify that. The second thing is a representment will no longer be called a representment. It will be called a dispute response or pre-arbitration. The third thing is chargeback reversal will be dispute reversal. So you can see the trend here, right? So anything that has chargeback is going to dispute, and then a response, a reversal, and then again, a representment reversal adjustment will go to dispute response reversal. So those are very specific changes to these terms. And I think it's important to understand what they are. They make sense. But it will take some getting used to, and I'm the worst about stuff like this, so I'm sure I'll be confused, and I'll say chargebacks more than I do disputes for a long time. But I think these are good things. So I believe that as we learn the new rules, the new terms, the new acronyms, I think they're all going to make sense, and we're going to get into the workflows and the philosophy behind it now.
Thanks, Harlan. It's Craig here. So I'll apologize up front for my accent, so hopefully everyone can follow along. I'll definitely try and speak slowly as I can, which is not in my character. Harlan talked a little bit about the shifts that Visa are introducing from a litigation model to a liability model. So I think everyone probably knows that Visa was sort of invented in the early 60s, and chargebacks followed soon after as a way to resolve situations where things went wrong for the cardholder. It was never really designed for the environment in which we live in today, where card not present and particularly e-commerce now represent the largest channel for making transactions with the Visa card. The last time the Visa rules were overhauled was about 15 years ago when chip began to be introduced across the world. But the process is still very paper-based, it's very slow, and Visa don't really get involved in decision-making until the very last stage of any chargeback or dispute. So what this does, this whole VCR concept, is move Visa right up front. So rather than saying, cardholder has a problem with transaction, merchant says, well, I disagree with that, and that bounces backwards and forwards. And I'm sure everyone on the webinar today is familiar with that process, as you send documents backwards and forwards, and the whole thing can take up to 6 months to resolve. Using data, again, a point that Harlan made, we're looking to resolve disputes upfront by using the data of the transaction to make a decision about who should be liable for that transaction. Now, that's a significant change, and essentially means that liability will be assigned upfront very quickly, and there's clarity for all parties. There will be, alongside the automatic assignment of liability, there are good things and bad things. So the good thing is that for customers, for cardholders, they have an immediate clarity of ensuring that they have a refund for the transaction if it is fraud or there is a processing problem. But for the merchant, there is a benefit in that the Visa system itself, VCR, will prevent transactions being charged back if the data isn't right. So there will be a reduction in what I would call a have-a-go chargeback, where the issuer may attempt a chargeback just to see whether it will stick, whether the merchant will accept it. The system will no longer allow that because of the data. So that's an improvement. And there still exists in the ecosystem the ability for any party to challenge where there is compelling evidence, but that should be less frequent given that data will be king. So moving away from this backwards and forwards where Visa decide at the end, and bringing that right up front where the data is king and we make a decision on day zero, essentially. So around about 75% to 80% of the chargebacks that we see today will end up going down what we're calling the allocation workflow. So that's where the system will decide who is liable for the transaction. So that will almost exclusively be for criminal fraud chargebacks and for transactions where there is a query about authorization. If the data isn't complete or the authorization hasn't been completed correctly, there is some other processing condition problem. The remaining chargebacks which exist today in scenarios where a cardholder may dispute the colour of the couch that they bought, or the size of the trainers, or the iPad didn't come and it wasn't the right one, or these types of consumer related chargebacks will continue to exist, and these will go down the collaboration workflow. So rather than there being an upfront assignment of liability, there is an ability to still exchange information in real time to help to resolve that transaction. So that is kind of what we had previous to VCR, but VCR just makes it a little bit faster and a little bit more user-friendly and quicker for everyone concerned. And the volume of chargebacks we expect to go down that road won't change. So the new workflows, looking at the slide on screen now, really just speaks to the reduction in timelines that we're looking for. So there will be a an ability to for an issuer to make a chargeback or a dispute, and then a reduced timeline for that to be responded to, which will speed up the resolution, as we've said, and move the financial liability much quicker than it is today. There is still an ability to, as I said, to challenge the allocation decision, but there are some conditions attached to that and some fees attached to that, and Visa will still intervene at the end of the day to make a decision if that's required, although we fully expect there to be fewer of those instances. In the collaboration route, so that's a scenario where we said that the trainers weren't the right size, there is an ability again for all parties to collaborate through the VCR system to arrive at an equitable solution, or if not, the Visa system will again intervene on a manual basis to make a ruling. But again, the time frames are reduced in order to make that quicker for all parties.
Yeah, this is great stuff, and I think that VMPI in particular plays a role, and we're going to see that the data exchange is going to be much quicker, and it will be an opportunity, even in the allocation standpoint, for Visa to block these invalid transactions, and they'll do it all within seconds. And we just have a whole data flow picture here that allows for Visa to intervene and to make sure that the only disputes that are getting through, the only fraud chargebacks that are going through, are going to be valid. So this is very exciting. The reason code systems are changing, they're becoming more organized, as Craig has mentioned, within the allocation workflow, there's certainly the fraud reason codes, and one notable change, I think, is reason code 75, transaction not recognized. This is being completely eliminated. Now, keep in mind, that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be, you know, opportunity, if it's true fraud, to assign that liability to the appropriate party. It just simply means that this sort of catch-all, no cardholder authorization, transaction not authorized, whatever it is, that's going to be eliminated. And you can see on the screen that they've actually created a very specific column for fraud, 10.1, which is EMB liability shift, and then it goes on through, and there's the card present environment, the card absent environment, et cetera, et cetera. So in reality, we still have subsections of fraudulent chargeback reason codes, as you can see, but I think that it really comes under this whole allocation workflow. And then you have authorization. Obviously, that's going to be a change in how that's allocated as well. And then within the collaboration, I think these are really interesting changes here. So with customer disputes, again, you've got enough specificity to be very clear as to what the reason is, right? Merchandise, services not received, canceled recurring, going on down, original credit transaction not accepted, those kind of things. So I think the fear was that if they went to four buckets of chargebacks, for example, that it would be sort of this amorphous, you know, block of things, and accounting departments and sales audit wouldn't understand what the real reason is. But I think Visa's done a really good job at creating the right workflows, putting them in the right buckets, and then creating reason codes that make sense within those buckets. So I think this is, again, a very good and significant change that Visa is making. So.
Yeah, I think, Harlan, you make a very good point about reason code 75. So that there were thousands of these every week going through the system where customers were claiming they didn't recognize the transaction. So those chargebacks that were on that reason code need to go somewhere. So the hope is that issuers will have more quality discussions with their customers up front about the transaction. So there are a few ways that, we can help with that. So the top one is VMPI. If you are participating in the purchase inquiry program and can provide data to help the issuer resolve the transaction with the customer with as rich a data set as you can, then that will prevent the chargeback going inevitably down a fraud route, which is the only option open. So that's a really key point, I think, Harlan.
Yeah, and I just want to reemphasize that within the VMP workflow, as I understand it, this is all pre-chargeback. So as this data flow goes back and forth through organizations like ours for our merchants, these inquiries are going to be more like requests for information rather than chargebacks. And if we can resolve these up front, the merchants are going to benefit. The issuers are going to benefit because they're going to get it off their plate and it's going to be resolved. And ultimately, I think it's good for the cardholders as well. So,
sure. So thinking about the benefits, and it's interesting that we're, I guess, now almost 2 weeks into VCR being live. And the only examples we had really previously were some pilot activities. So Visa had VCR live for around about a year now in Hong Kong and New Zealand. And indicatively, we were looking at something around about 11 to 15% reduction in overall cases, which is great news. I mean, I think that's a really good story for everyone in the system. And it does speak to the fact that one, the number of chargebacks being spuriously entered into the system is reduced because the data is now determining what is a valid and what is an invalid chargeback. But it also indicates that probably there are quality discussions happening with cardholders rather than transactions being immediately routed to chargebacks. So people are taking more care to prevent that from happening and help people resolve transactions at the first point of interaction. So let's imagine that transpires, that 11 to 15% runs out. That would be great news as a great benefit for everyone in the ecosystem. Reduction in cost, reduction in paper. I think these are all things we can support. The process is very much simplified. I think as Harlan and I have described, I mean, moving the reason codes into simpler buckets, moving us down an allocation versus a collaboration route really simplifies and demystifies the process. Also, the process becomes much faster. So there is now this vast reduction in timeframes. So everything from allocating liability on day zero through to reducing the time it takes for the backwards and forwards if there is a conversation to be had takes the confusion and the financial uncertainty out of chargebacks. So moving away from that top end of 6 months down to sort of 30 to 45 days is a definite benefit for everyone, irrespective of where the liability ends up. And ultimately, this is about customer experience. So in a digital age, in the 21st century, we really should be doing something better than what we have been doing. So VCR delivers a better experience for cardholders, it delivers a better experience for merchants, and it delivers it in a digital way.
All right, thank you guys. Okay, so when people registered, they submitted some questions. So we're just going to kind of go through some of these questions that were asked and see if we can offer answers. How will the time frame changes affect my process? Craig, do you have an answer for this?
Yeah, a really simple one. You're just going to have to be faster. First off, you have to make a decision on whether to accept the chargeback or not. So you have to make that decision pretty quickly. And then if you want to challenge it, you have to be quicker. So yeah, you just have to be more agile. That's a very simple answer.
All right, easy enough. Okay, and what are the benefits of the new process? Harlan, I think you had some ideas on this.
Yeah, the benefits are, I think, have been somewhat described as we've gone through the webinar, but I think that to begin with, getting Visa or having Visa get more involved in the whole dispute management process, creating digital rails that are going to make the exchange of information more effective and efficient. I think these are all very, very positive things. And for one thing, I think within the adversarial model, there's always been this sense that it's the issuers against the merchants, right? And that has, I think, created some not direct animosity, but just some concern on both sides. Well, who's out to get who, kind of a thing, you know. And I think Visa is now stepping in more as a neutral third party. They're taking a data-driven approach, and we believe, or at least I believe, that data is going to help to resolve a lot of these issues long before they become a costly chargeback, because the whole system creates costs across the board. There's liability for the issuers until they discharge that to the acquirers, and then, you know, in the current system, right? So there's all this sort of inefficiency, and there's all this waste over a tremendous amount of invalid disputes and chargebacks and all kinds of things. And I think Visa getting involved, creating these new rules, regulations, creating the digital rails, I think it's going to create efficiencies. It's going to reduce the waste. And ultimately, the cost is going to go down across the board. And I love the last point that, that Craig made. I think it's going to absolutely improve the customer experience.
100% agree with that. And I think you're right that the huge benefit here is that we take the subjectivity out of the whole process. So we're not relying on to an extent, humans making decisions about whether to enter a chargeback or whether to defend the chargeback or what the rights and wrongs are. Using data upfront makes the whole thing more objective, more consistent, more fair, and ultimately, as you said, Harlan, reduced costs for everyone in the system.
Yeah, and I think it's going to make the initial request by a cardholder for some action on a transaction, either they don't recognize it. I think that's going to make create a greater amount of due diligence before anything happens. And to my way of thinking, and I believe this is true for most merchants and certainly for some of the issuers, I think this is going to be a huge benefit, because due diligence is going to create this reduction of waste and cost.
Great. Okay, the next question is, will the changes improve dispute success rates?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one to answer. I mean, the working theory of VCR is
The next few questions and answers were only heard by our attendees. The remaining questions will resume in a moment.
The next question is one that somebody had. They asked, the issuers will be limited to disputing a maximum of 35 e-commerce transactions within any 120-day period. Could you elaborate on this a little bit, Craig?
Yeah, sure. So Visa were very keen to introduce some caps on the number of chargebacks that can be entered against an individual card, for particularly for fraud reasons. So, I mean, realistically, no single cardholder should have that many fraudulent transactions on a statement. If they do, that probably indicates that the issuer is not doing a great job at detecting or preventing fraud. So by limiting the number of chargebacks, the system is trying to incentivize issuers to be a bit better at doing that. And that's all that's doing. So if the issuer chooses not to stop the card or contact the customer or do any of the good practices that they should be doing, then the liability will at some point cease, and they have to live with that. So that's really what that's designed to do. And my understanding is that will be reviewed reasonably frequently to ensure that it is being adhered to, and that there is, you know, nobody managing up to the maximum, if you like. So that's the idea there.
So Craig, a follow-up question to that. This is per cardholder. Do you think, and I have my opinion about it, but do you think this is going to reduce, you know, the sort of the instance of the serial friendly fraudster, if you understand what I'm saying there? Is that the ultimate sort of destination of this opportunity?
I think there are pockets of that, absolutely, Harlan. There are pockets of that going on, and again, it really is I think if I'm honest, there is an inconsistency out there. Issuers will deal with their customers in very different ways. So this is designed to try and protect, to a certain extent, the acquiring and merchant community from the varying appetites and differing behaviors of issuers.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know you guys have touched on this, but maybe Harlan, you can touch on this point again. This user wanted to know what's the average reduction of the total chargebacks expected.
Yeah, Craig mentioned the pilot was that has taken place over the last year or so in Hong Kong and New Zealand, 11 to 15%. I think that's my understanding, that was in the implementation of the MPI, but there are going to be other reductions that I have not heard statistics on, but I'm very, very hopeful that it's going to constitute additional percentages to that number. I mean, if you think about all of the invalid inquiries that are going to be sort of blocked and passed back to the issuers, I think that's a percentage. And just, if I may get into a little bit of how I understand the process flows goes for the MPI, I think this will begin to clarify for the listeners how this might work. When there's a fraudulent transaction, what the issuer believes is cardholder calls, there's the issuer believes it's fraud because based on what the cardholder said, the issuer will send an inquiry to Visa and say, hey, we believe this is fraud. And the first thing that Visa is going to do, and this is where I think we're going to see some blocking of these invalid chargebacks, is they're going to run a data scrub on those transactions. And so, for example, if a refund's already been issued, obviously, if it's a Visa card and all that, Visa's going to know that. And so they're going to block that because the refund's been issued by the merchant. And that is an example of how within the VMPI workflow, you're going to see a tremendous, probably, I shouldn't say that because I don't know that, but you are going to see a reduction. And these will be automatic. They will be automated to some extent, so that the cost for dealing with those kind of things is going to be very, very much reduced.
Yeah, and it's worth just adding to that, Harlan. I mean, the number of queries that a card issuer will receive, so the number of calls or branch visits or emails about transactions that aren't recognized or they have a problem with, won't reduce. I mean, the VCR won't change that, but what we're seeing is a difference in how those claims or those queries will be handled. So VMPI is one way to do that. Sending them down the fraud route to see if they can be assigned liabilities, another, which is, you know, something we'll keep a very close eye on. That could be quite worrying. And then lastly, issuers may decide that they need to take write-offs for some of these transactions. So we're watching that very closely. So the number of total claims won't reduce, but the evidence thus far is that the number of chargebacks has. So just where those transactions go to in terms of their liability or where they end up pushed back to the customer or taken by the bank is interesting. We're watching that very closely.
Okay, and the next question is, will customers be stopped from being able to do a chargeback even though we have already refunded? Craig, I think you had an answer for this one.
Yeah, so the answer, again, is very simply, hopefully in most cases, yes. The very fact that the VCR system is using data, it will look to see if there is a refund. So it's important to say that Visa need to know that the refund happened. So the refund had to have happened against the Visa card in question, so not through store credit or gift cards or any other methodology. But if there's a refund in the Visa system that's associated with the original transaction, it will call that an invalid chargeback and prevent it from being processed. Which is a good development, which stops a lot of unnecessary paperwork and backwards and forwards between the issuers and acquirers.
Okay, the next person wanted to know, what are the best ways to connect to VMPI, and can one connection cover transactions for processing across multiple acquirers? Harlan, did you have, I think you had the answer for this one, right?
Yeah, sure. this is a great question, because the visa has provided basically two routes for this. One is through your acquirer, but to the specifics of one connection to cover transactions for multiple acquirers, Chargebacks 911 is implementing the digital rails to facilitate VMPI requests. And this is a great way if you have multiple acquiring solutions, one for your this e-com mid and this e-com mid, and then you've got a point of sale group and all that, and they have different acquirers. We're going to be able to facilitate those across multiple acquirers. And I think that this is a really important point for large organizations or organizations with multiple e-commerce businesses. So the answer is yes, there is one connection point. We are a connection point for that. You can certainly do a connection through your acquirer as well, but they won't be a one-stop shop.
I apologize, guys. The next question is the initial fraud chargeback counted as a pre-arbitration? And if so, do you get a pre-arbitration fee for fighting everyone? Craig?
So let me just clarify the terminology. So if it's a fraud chargeback and it's a valid chargeback, then it will be an assigned liability chargeback. So in order to fight that, if you feel that there is compelling evidence or anything else we've discussed previously, that becomes a filing fee. So there is a fee attached to that. And that's to discourage, that fee is really there to discourage the spurious challenge of assigned liability. Pretty simple.
Okay. Next is a pretty good question. What are the three most important things merchants can do to comply with this new protocol? Harlan, did you have three?
Yeah, I think that actually I took one from Craig. So we were talking earlier about this. So please forgive me, Craig. First of all, the three most important thing is to understand the rules and the workflows. And they're really quite logical in my way of thinking, but they're also, you have to get into the weeds of it. And so if you're going to do this yourself, and we strongly encourage you not to do that, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but if you're going to do that yourself, you've got to understand the rules, how they've changed, you've got to understand the workflows, and you've got to make the connecting points. But beyond that, you have to get your data right. And this is the point I want to give attribution to Craig on, because he's absolutely right. The data is going to have to be right. You're going to have to collect the right amount of data, the right data fields, et cetera, and have access to that data and give that to Visa. And so those are the kinds of things that, you as a merchant can do. Now, again, I said up front that understanding the rules and the workflows and all that, if you're going to do this yourself, then you need to do that. My encouragement to you, rather, is that no merchant, I don't care how big they are, the biggest merchants on the planet cannot keep up with all the changes. Just in the last 30 days, there's been like 35 rule changes, and VCR isn't going to stop that. There's still going to be rule changes from Amex and MasterCard and Discover. They're still going to update these things every month. And so this is one thing we do super well. We have a whole compliance team that is looking out for our merchants by understanding and applying the rules and the changes that are coming. And so yes, you can do it, but I encourage you to use an organization like ours in order to facilitate these new protocols and these new rules.
I will forgive you, Harlan, for taking my data point, but I will reinforce it. So absolutely, it is, I cannot underline this enough. Making sure that your data is as accurate as it can be is crucial. So that is really simple stuff like your merchant descriptor IDs, your location IDs, your website address IDs, wherever they appear in transactions, make sure they're correct. If your merchant category code is inaccurate, make sure it's accurate, speak to your acquirer. Second thing, we're going to get way more than three things here, but second thing is, again, VMPI. So, I mean, if you can get into VMPI as quickly as you can and figure out a way to deliver the richest content, so digital receipts, line item details, all of that kind of good stuff that you can layer on to that transaction, you'll prevent a great number of chargebacks from arriving at your door. And then lastly, thinking about the security of your transaction. So in the allocation of liability workflow, if you end up with liability allocation, that will generally be because the data will allow it if your transaction is unsecure. So thinking about 3D secure, so verified by Visa, as a way to protect yourself from liability. Now, I know that sometimes this is a very unpopular concept, but it doesn't have to be universal. It can be selective. There are ways to manage it, and certainly Chargebacks 911 and the chargeback company can help you to think about strategies around that. But it is a great way to defend yourself against assigned liability, would be something I would add there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on the 3D secure portion of this verified by Visa. I think we are going to see, and I think Europe is really moving very heavily in this direction towards strict authentication methodology and requirements. And I really believe this is a critical piece of limiting that liability, reducing chargebacks. And so authentication is a key factor. And Craig, I just knew you'd have more to say than just get your data right. So thank you very much.
Hey, we've got, you know, here in the European team in the chargeback company, we've got a vast amount of experience in how 3D Secure has been rolled out in a way that is actually quite helpful to merchants. So, you know, absolutely something that we can help and advise on.
Okay. All right. We just have a few more questions here. How will the new changes impact my workload? I think workload's supposed to be. Sorry about that, guys. Go ahead. Harlan, did you have an answer?
Sure. So I think this is a great question. In reality, the workload is going to increase, at least in the beginning, because we've talked about a lot of things. Getting your data right. Well, what does that mean, right? And there's a whole, Craig enumerated a number of instances where you have to review your descriptors. You have to do this, you have to do that. So getting that data ready for a VMPI inquiry, for example, is just one of the many things that will require you to take a look at your processes. Understanding the rules. You know, those kind of things. Implementing verified by Visa if that's something you haven't already implemented and worked through. So the workload is going to increase, but I think the dividends at the end of the day are going to be very significant. I think if the work is done, you're going to see the maximum benefit of the plan. And so we're advocates of that. Now I want to mention to the group that an example of these descriptors, making sure the descriptors are right, that's something we do every day for all of our clients. We're monitoring, we're reviewing, we're sending alerts. If a descriptor gets truncated because, you know, your acquiring bank merges with another one or something happens, we're monitoring for what we call merchant-caused chargebacks or merchant errors. These are things that we do. We monitor them. We advise you on them, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't have to think about that. But if you're doing it on your own, it's important to know that the workload is going to increase. We don't know all of how this is going to play out because adoption, as we get more adoption, we're going to see, you know, more statistics. We're going to understand the impact. But I believe the workload is going to increase, especially in the very, very beginning. It's going to be a steep curve. And then, you know, as we get more into it, it's going to even out a bit.
Yep, I agree with that. I think, as we said before, you will be receiving and working only those cases which have passed the test, if you like. So they will be cases which will be more interesting. So you will spend less time sifting through the chaff, but you will now be dealing with the wheat.
Great analogy. I love that.
Okay, this next question is, what can be done from an automation standpoint to ensure that disputes are closed before the fee for lack of response is issued? We didn't really touch on that fee yet. So, Craig, do you have some insight into the best way to deal with this?
I mean, I think it wouldn't be a recommendation that anyone automates the acceptance of a chargeback. That would be, I mean, unless you're dealing with an industrial size process and you think that that's a good quality decision, which you know, you may do for a number of reasons, but it wouldn't be something we'd recommend unless you're dealing with thresholds, and there are various scenarios. But ultimately, you should be looking to be understanding and analyzing the incoming chargebacks, because as I said in the last response, these chargebacks you will be receiving will have passed the test. So they are quality and they are there for a reason. So they will be indicative of something in your business practice that is potentially wrong. And it is only right that you should manually look at those and analyze your workflows rather than automating them for the lack of dealing with the problem. That might not be a very popular answer, but it's certainly my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think just to dig in a little bit more there, automation is great for some things. But what we've learned through, 3 million chargeback disputes and cases that we've managed over the years that we've been doing this, is that humans create chargebacks. It takes humans to understand how to overturn them. And so certainly use all the technology and automation you can, but at the end of the day, we have to be looking at the cases. And at Chargebacks 911, we have a whole team of QC specialists. These are seasoned professionals who are looking at every case before it goes to back to the schemes or the issuers, as it currently might be, in order to make sure we have the right data, right? We have enough data so that we can make a compelling case to reverse this chargeback. So again, automation is great. I wouldn't create a senior directive in a computer sense that says accept. I think that would not be the right way to interpret VCR or any of the issues within this sort of protocol. I would really be looking at how can I best review each case and what's the best way to do that.
Okay, this is the last question, and I'm going to give this one to you, Harlan. How can Chargebacks 911 or the chargeback company help us implement these new changes?
Great. Jared, thanks again for allowing Craig and myself to be part of this. We really appreciate it. Just a couple of things. Number one, this is all we do. We are the specialists in this environment because we do nothing else. We eat, breathe, and sleep chargebacks, and in the new world, I told you I'd get confused, disputes. And so, first of all, we can help you by creating, a scenario that we can help you filter out the bad actors, reducing your fraud. If you don't have a fraud filter, we're going to recommend that you implement one, because we want to reduce that to as much as close to zero as possible. Number two, we're going to be in the initial stages. If you're not one of our customers, we're going to be going through a very specific process where we look at your merchant processes, your T's and C's, all that kind of thing. And we're going to help you reduce the instance where you're making an error that's going to cause you a chargeback. And it doesn't matter whether it's under the old system or VCR. If you make an error and you don't fix that error when you're informed of it or made aware of it, you're just going to keep getting dinged for these chargeback cases. So that's the number two thing I'd say. Number three, we really understand how this whole process works. And so whether it's in the new system or in the old system, we're going to help you build a case. We're going to use your data, but also ours, to help build a case that will be reversed. The dispute will be reversed, and it won't have the opportunity to go further than that. So that's kind of how we look at the world. And then finally, I would say probably the best thing, and the thing that I'm most excited about, is the VMPI. For merchants who are out there using Chargebacks 911 to connect to VMPI is going to be, as I said earlier, a one-stop shop. I think there's great opportunity for reducing, you know, they're talking this 11 to 15% reduction. Man, if we could get our data right, and if we could get the, you know, get the VMPI requests within that 2-second time frame after they come in, we get the data back to Visa, I'm hoping for even greater things, maybe even a higher percentage, because our goal is not to see your chargebacks increase. We've always had a mentality that we want to recover maximum cash for everything that has been wrongly filed against you. We want to reduce chargebacks over time. And to that point, VMPI is going to be able to do that. And number three, we want to help with all of the reform efforts that Visa and MasterCard are doing right now. We think this is a great opportunity for merchants, issuers, and acquirers alike. And we're here to partner with our merchants to make sure that they get maximum benefit out of this program.
I couldn't have said it any better, Harlan. If I use a British reference, if anyone's ever heard of train spotters, there are people who are very enthusiastic about trains and stand at railway stations and record numbers and get very enthusiastic about these things. We are the equivalent chargeback people. We are those geeks who are in the middle of all of this every day, night and day across the world. And we've assembled a team of people who kind of, for better or worse, love it. And the idea is that we do it and nobody else has to worry about it. So that's exactly how we can help you.
That's right.
Thank you guys. Thank you both of you guys for joining and doing this webinar today. I think it was a really great event. I'm really, really happy the way everything turned out. Like I said, we're going to have this available for replay. Just give us a little bit of time to get it uploaded into the site. And thank you everyone for attending. If you have any questions, I'm going to scroll back to the first slide here, and I'm going to put Harlan's email and Craig's email. If you guys I went a little too far. If you guys have any questions, you can email either of these two guys directly. And you know, if you're not currently a customer of ours, you know, please reach out, and you know, we'd love to make an introduction and see if there's a way that we can help your business.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. Thanks, everyone.